It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jeff Quattromani.
And we are presenting the show for you tonight with no DD Cup, no Jason.
No.
They've deserted us.
There is a lonely spot in the corner here.
Yes. Our census is down 2 for the night.
We're missing one.
We are missing 2.
Two.
Two.
Absolutely. At least one.
At least one. Yeah. When we can't count. We tried taking. I tried taking off my shoes and socks. Did not help one bit.
No.
How have you been, Jeffrey?
I've been good. I've been busy. I spent my Saturday judging a technology competition, which we'll talk about a bit later on.
Absolutely.
And I spent today out near Acoona Bay.
Acoona Bay.
Yeah, nice place to go for a drive.
It is very nice to go for a drive, yeah. Especially on a day like today.
It's beautiful.
And especially in a convertible. On a day like today. Oh, dear gee.
Yeah.
You don't have one.
No, I didn't even.
Even if you did, you wouldn't have had the top down today.
I didn't even open the sunroof. So, no, I didn't. I drove in, enjoyed the drive, and then stayed for lunch and a long drive.
There's a couple of nice places down there to have lunch down there along that part there.
Yeah, it was lovely. So, did that and eventually made it back here.
Very good.
How about you?
We went out for a bit of a drive. We went down, grabbed some fish and chips down at Maroubra.
Oh, nice.
Then went down. There's a little area that we go to between Coogee and Maroubra.
Yep.
And we just sit down there. Yeah. Find ourselves a park bench and
it's perfect.
In the sun, it is beautiful. Yeah. You watch all the people with their dogs going past.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is nothing that brings a bigger smile to your face, or to my face anyway, than seeing a park full of dogs with big smiles on their faces, waggly tails, chasing balls, chasing sticks.
And people around playing Pokemon Go, following them? Or
We didn't see too much of that.
Fantastic.
Interestingly, we saw, you know, people with their kids and, you know, kicking soccer balls. There was looked like a hockey field set up a bit further.
This is good.
North of where we were.
Yeah.
There was somebody with a very yappy chihuahua.
Yeah.
We won't hold that against them too much.
This sounds like a pretty, lively area.
Yeah. Lots of kids, but I didn't have the marinade or the barbecue to cook them with. No, terrible. it was just a beautiful day. Did a bit of shopping, came home, and here we is. Well, the Roosters won today as well, so that's good.
Who's won today?
The Roosters in the footy.
Oh, no. I actually thought you said that the Roosters turned one or something.
Well, that too, yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. They're now a bunch of old shooks.
Oh, well, there you go. Good for the Roosters. Who'd they beat?
North Queensland Cowboys. The Premiers.
Last year's premiers.
So,
good start.
Oh, well, they've had a very bad year this year. As a Rooster supporter, it's been a very bad and somewhat expensive year for me with some of the wages.
Oh, really?
With the people at work. But, hey, it's good fun. It is good fun.
Mm.
But the weather today, everybody was out. You know, Bondi was an absolute zoo today because of the city to serve.
Oh, yes, you got out of
there. 80,000 people.
That's a lot.
We saw absolutely none of them.
Yeah, good.
To me, the ideal way of doing the city to surf is to sit outside somewhere on a balcony with a bottle of Veuve Clicquot or something else like that.
Sounds good.
And just enjoy the champagne and the sun.
Yeah, I've done the city of surf and it was fun, but the people...
I'm sorry, there's nothing about run but to me that suggests fun.
But the people along the street who are having parties on their balconies and things like that,
yeah,
I think they're the ones having the most fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It is a fun watch.
It looks good.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I was jealous.
But with the weather today, and it was so beautiful, I figure we should start the music with Martha and the Vandellas today and Dancing in the Street.
Yeah.
back with The Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Now, that's a coincidence, because so are we.
We're all here.
We're all here. All present and accounted for, except those who are not here.
Exactly.
Okay, it's time for the news.
Some news. So, interesting one for from Laser. Do you remember Laser?
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, Laser makes a lot of different products.
They do.
They make a huge range of products. What they've added to their range this week is a wireless, it's funny, it's called a wireless Wi-Fi adapter. Although that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's an adapter that physically connects to things like your speakers and helps them turn into Wi-Fi enabled speakers.
Right.
So I'm not going to call it a wireless Wi-Fi adapter, but but this small device plugs into your speakers and allows them to be used in the way you'd use your Chromecast and things like that. So
okay.
Network attached speakers all of a sudden, which you can then use your phone to, you know, spread your music around the house with any speaker. So even your old stuff.
Okay.
Kind of handy.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. I saw something kind of similar this week.
Mm.
And let me just pull up the email for that, because it was a new device that came out this week from one of the major audio, McClipsh, it was from.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they have just released a Wi-Fi and Bluetooth enabled turntable.
Have they?
With speakers.
It has speakers?
It has speakers.
Hmm.
And I've asked them if they can get me a review unit.
Yes, good.
But there's a couple of turntables now that
are wireless.
And I think that's a very interesting.
That is interesting, actually. And I'm not so much interested about the speaker part, but the fact that the turntable is wireless, that would be cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
If I could attach
it
to it.
It also works in a normal way with the RCA. It's got the RCA outputs on it.
Do you know how much it is? Must be expensive.
I don't know. I'd imagine without the speakers, we're looking at about $300 because there's a similar one already on the market for around about that money.
Okay.
And I guess a couple of hundred for the speakers on top of that. And
Klipsch is usually pretty good quality.
Klipsch is high-end.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And Klipsch is generally also very efficient amplifiers, amplifiers and speakers, so should be good. Okay. Hopefully I'll have one in the next couple of weeks and we'll be able to talk about that some more.
Interesting.
How long does it take you to get to Mars at the moment?
For me?
For you.
Oh, in traffic? Oh, these days?
Yeah.
Days?
18 months.
Right.
18 months is the typical
travel time
between Sydney and Mars.
Are they going to work on that? Are they improving it?
As a matter of fact, the Russians are working on that.
Well, I'm glad somebody is making it a priority.
Yeah, and they're developing a nuclear fission engine.
Right.
That will reduce the travel time. Now, just imagine this for your commute.
Yeah.
From 18 months to about 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
By using nuclear-powered
engines.
Is that because at the moment they almost float their way to Mars?
Basically, yeah. They use the engine to get themselves going, to give themselves a certain momentum, certain speed, and then the rest of it is done, and it's trajectory-based.
That's awesome.
Whereas if they can use a nuclear engine to drive the spaceship, then they can do all sorts of things in there, plus, of course, they can get much higher potential speeds.
I love this. When are they going to launch it? Especially Russia.
Their target is 2018, 2 years from now, roughly.
Okay.
Whether it happens in that time frame, I don't know. But they've had nuclear engines in spaceships back in the 60s, apparently.
Really?
Really.
So is there a reason why they stopped doing it in the first place?
I have no idea.
That's what I'm worried about.
I have no idea. But you might want to ask that astronaut who's just glowing quietly in the dark.
We'll start to think it's aliens coming back, but it's just humans with too much nuclear energy.
Yeah, I've got a couple of space stories today. The next one is a doozy, but you go.
So the one that I've got here, obviously with the Olympics on in Rio, there's always going to be stories coming out of it. And there was a number
of them. How's your pool? Has your pool turned green yet?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet. I don't know.
You're missing out on this.
I must be doing something wrong.
You must be.
Did you see the diving at the whatever they call off the
The three meter springboard,
all the belly flops
drowning.
Going on?
Yeah, synchronized drowning.
I think it was the Philippines just couldn't manage a good dive at all.
Oh dear,
it was hilarious. But anyway,
well, you wouldn't think that the Philippines could, because it's not as if they're surrounded by water or anything.
No, not at all. Right, it's too hard. So, during the fencing of all things, when you're
that's when you go around the room and put up a fence on the paddock.
It's a picket fence race.
That's right.
But this time they were getting into a sword fight, so doing fencing completely differently.
Okay.
But, so these two blokes having a sword fight, and one guy, while he's playing along,
they should combine that with angling and you could do a swordfish fight. Oh, sorry.
His phone falls out of his pocket.
What?
What was the bloke doing with his phone in his pocket?
During Olympic competition.
I've been training for 4 years. Hang on a second. I've got a phone call. Hang on. Can we stop fighting? I've got someone calling me. I got to take this phone call.
When I'm jamming, I see people up on stage and they've got their phones with them. Some of them use it for their words and stuff like that. They're up there with a phone and they're reading the lyrics for a song while they're singing it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Is it karaoke?
No, this is not karaoke. But I think that is just so off and so unprofessional.
Completely.
And, you know.
So, and it was funny because before the phone fell out, the guy was winning. So maybe it was a bit of a good luck charm. Once it fell out, the man lost.
Well, there you go.
Lost the battle. And that was it.
Okay. Go on. Okay. What do you know about Area 51?
I've heard about it. You know, I haven't been there yet.
You haven't been there?
No.
It's in New Mexico in the US.
Roswell, right?
Roswell, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Boyd Bushman is a scientist, or he was a scientist there in Area 51. And before he died, he published his biography and did an interview where he candidly reveals details of classified alien experiments, UFOs, anti-gravity technologies, and the secret space race.
Okay.
With respect, this is a quote from this, with respect to the alien craft, we have American citizens who are working on UFOs 24 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
So,
do you think that if the people who work in those areas just get so into what they're doing, all the stories, all the myths, that they all just believe everything that's going on? I mean, is that what goes on?
I have absolutely no idea.
It's a bit of a concern.
It's certainly one for those people who are conspiracy theorists.
I think so, just a little bit. Those with the foil hats, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's your next story?
I'm out of news.
It was a short
week of news for me. I didn't find major stuff. You've got the good stories.
I've got some good stories. As you can tell, I've got some absolutely doozies. Most of them. Oh, this one is a good one. Yes. Microsoft. They have. You know how you get the boot system on our laptops, on our computers these days, and it is keyed to basically allow us to run Microsoft programs now, Windows only.
Yep.
Well, there's a set of keys for that that control how that boots.
Okay.
And that's secure boot is what they refer to it.
Yep.
And there's a design flaw in the Windows operating system.
Never.
I know you're shocked to hear that. And this design flaw can be used to unlock Windows devices, including smartphones and tablets, which would otherwise be protected by Secure Boot.
That's so perfect.
And the actual keys have been leaked.
Oh, good.
So
what a great idea.
This is absolutely wonderful.
Yep. No one should ever be worried. This is just great news that the password on your computer is basically easily bypassed.
Absolutely, yes.
Easily bypassed.
It's nice to know that your secure computer is not...
Your security is meaningless.
Yes, it is. Speaking of meaningless...
Yeah.
In Victoria, the Victorian Electoral Commission, we're going to be talking more about government computing systems shortly.
Like what, really?
They have released an app for the iPad called Voter's Voice. And it assists people with communication difficulties to participate in elections.
How so?
I'll just read you this. There are many people with complex communication needs who have either not voted in the past or voted by post due to their inability to communicate as easily as everyone else.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
In some cases, decisions have been made for them by well-meaning family members who were also under the impression that their communication issues were a barrier to participation.
Mm.
We hope that this app provides an opportunity for increased awareness of the support and strategies available to enable everyone to be truly equal at the ballot box.
That's interesting.
I think that is absolutely wonderful.
So what will happen in this app? Essentially, all the parties running for election will put information into this app so that the voter can actually go through and read it? Is that the idea?
I have no idea. I haven't been able to get any details of what the app is, and I don't have any functioning iOS devices at the moment. My mum's got my iPad.
That's quite cool, though, because that they're actually at least thinking about that, because it's true that most carers are probably voting on behalf of that person.
They would be doing that,
and making that sort of double vote, I guess.
Yeah.
By using theirs. So I'm actually really glad to see that's happening, especially when the elections were won and lost in some cases by 6 votes.
That's right.
So
that's
good. Right. Good.
Yep. Now, you know how much I love Facebook.
I know you're a big fan.
Yeah.
Yep.
My mum sent me an email today.
Yep.
As you know, Sycamore number 2 has moved over to Greensboro.
Yes, yes.
He posted a couple of photos on his Facebook page today, and my mum sent me an email. Why does Michael look cold in the photos?
Yeah.
And I don't have a Facebook account, and there's very little chance of me getting one.
Yes.
So I had to ask Dee to go and look at the photos, and the photos were all photos taken in Sydney, one of which when he borrowed my car for the last week before he moved overseas.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there in the convertible, rugged up in a parka with a hood on and so on, with the top down, of course, as you should do. He's my son.
He must be.
And I presume that's the photo that Mum said he looks cold in. And
I wonder why.
My mum thinks that this is from midsummer in Greensboro,
North Carolina. I love that. That is so good.
But Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, and they're in the news.
They're in the news.
Never.
A New South Wales District Court judge has forced a person who wrote a defamatory Facebook post to pay $150,000 in damages.
That's not a bad amount.
In March 2014, electrician David Scott wrote a post asking people to spread the word. And the post was pedophile warning. Nambucca has been used as a relocation for these monsters, and he mentions a couple of hotels. Bus stops are right out front of these hotels for our children. And he's trying to, or basically, he was found to have slandered the people who own the properties that he was referring to.
And so who sued him for it?
The
actual owners of those properties.
The owners of those properties. And they've awarded this guy $150,000 after his life fell apart.
Oh wow.
Following the slanderous Facebook post.
Jeez. That's weird.
Be careful what you say.
Well, it's the thing with Facebook and any sort of social media that if you wouldn't say it, you know, if you wouldn't say it out loud, or you wouldn't write it in a letter to somebody or an email or whatever, it's the same thing.
Okay. Let's just have a quick discussion now.
Yeah.
Because I saw an article today
that
related to, when was the latest major MacBook update?
4 years ago.
That's right. You saw the article too?
The one I've got.
Okay.
Yeah, so my MacBook is still the best MacBook Pro you can buy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the article went on to mention that the improvements in the CPUs over the last few years now have been mainly incremental, and there hasn't been anything major in terms of the changes and
More around efficiency and things like that.
That's right. That's right. Power efficiency.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Yep.
And it was an interesting article because I'm seeing the same thing in the PC world as well, where you're going from a Core i6 4 two or three years ago, to the 5 last year, to the 6 this year.
Mm.
But what are you seeing in terms of real performance improvements? You're not seeing a whole lot, are you?
Well, it's also because you have to wonder, what are people needing to do that requires more performance than 4 years ago? And, and in reality, we're just using the internet more.
We're using the internet more.
Yeah.
If you're doing graphics processing, if you're a graphics designer, if you're a photographic a photographer doing a lot of post-processing, if you're a musician and you need to do a lot of intense music processing, then you need the most power that you can get.
But I would
for the average person,
I would suggest most people are using their laptops as consumption devices.
Exactly right.
I have a Mac and I have a Windows laptop as well, but I primarily use this for web browsing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't do a lot of content creation anymore. I don't type Word documents or presentations. Yes, it's my personal laptop. My work one does get used for productivity tools. That's right. My job. But I think people are spending a lot of money on laptops, which don't need to do a lot.
No.
And that's why Chromebooks were always such a good thing. You know,
exactly.
$300.
$300 and all you need to do is web browsing.
Yeah. It was perfect for it.
Exactly.
It's true.
Exactly. Mm. You're listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the internet, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www. I'll get it right one day, www.radio2rdj.com. This is Sherbet and Cassandra. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet. All those W's dot radio 2RDJ. What are you laughing at? .com.
Or the World Wide Webs.
All the World Wide Web, yeah. You had an interesting day yesterday, Jeff.
I did. I had a really interesting day yesterday.
Tell the listener about what you did.
So I signed up to, or I volunteered to be a judge. Of a technology competition that's run in every state.
I'm confused. What do you know about technology?
I know, of all people, right?
Yeah.
So I was one of probably around 20, 25 judges.
Okay. How many were found guilty?
Every single one of
Good.
Them. Good. No. So Young ICT Explorers is the name of the competition, and the Sydney-based event was on Saturday, and around 200 students or more from 32 different schools had entries at the
great
at the day, which was a lot.
This was a STEM initiative, basically. Mm. But I was astounded when you told me how old these kids were. So, I'd be expecting kids around about 13 to 16.
Yes,
in sort of a junior high school
it's
age
true.
Range.
So my age category, which I judged, was years 5 and 6. But in saying that, there were kids from all ages. So there were students even up to year 12 which were there, but my judging category was years 5 and 6.
Years 5 and 6.
11, 12
11 and 12 years old. Yeah.
Staggering. So I initially wasn't expecting a lot. I thought maybe some fancy PowerPoint presentations, maybe some basic web page design. Who knows?
Right.
So I saw about 12, 13 projects over the course of the day. I'll go through maybe 3 or 4. That stood out for me. One was a fire monitoring drone.
Okay, I know a little bit about fire monitoring because of some of the
past
things.
Experiences.
Past experience, yeah.
So these three kids 3D printed a drone. So
that's pretty impressive. Just stop there. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, so they 3D printed a drone, the actual parts for it, to be able to build a working drone that could fly and be remote controlled. And their thought was that they would attach a thermal imaging camera to the bottom of the drone to collect temperature data from bushfires, which firefighters could use to assess the strength of the fire.
Now, that would be very handy for around where the firefighters actually are. You could imagine one of the firefighters, you know, maybe the radio operator or something like that, could also be in control of the drone, provided there wasn't too much smoke around, and fly it over the area, over the region, so that he could see where hotspots were and areas where perhaps they need to direct the helicopters with the water bombing and that sort of stuff.
So, impressive. That was the first one I saw, and I went, okay, we're up to a really good start. The next one I want to talk about is a vest. These guys have a vest. They didn't build the vest. That was a off-the-rack item.
Off the rack. They destroyed Dad's three-piece suit for this.
Yep. A vest that had sensors in it that measured distance. And the reason they did this was they thought that the cost of a guide dog was too high. So they used these Arduino chips, these microcomputer, were attached to distance sensing chips that would audibly beep once you were within 1 meter of something. Okay. So if you're a meter from a wall, it starts beeping so that the visually impaired person doesn't bump into it. Like, it's so simple.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
How do you know where this obstruction is?
Well, in front of you. Because the sensors were only in front.
Okay.
So if you're walking forward, if you're walking backwards, it's a different story.
Okay. But so, if it's towards your left, there was no differentiation or anything like that?
It was just, you're in front of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was really impressive. And it was battery powered, so you could start walking and it would start beeping from there.
Okay.
Crazy. And they've got plans, I should mention, they've got plans to look at a summer range. So you can actually have a hat or shoes or something like that. But amazing that they even thought about different ranges.
Somebody in that team is a marketing genius.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. The guys who won the age category, I'll go straight to these guys. They have an internet-connected washing line. Let me read out their process, and they demonstrated this.
And the internet, okay, I'm not going to comment on this one. Just keep
going. I'll read this process word for word. The kid puts the clothes for washing in the washing basket. They then go online onto this website that they've built, and they say which items they've added to the washing basket, say two shirts. Their mum receives an SMS saying there is new dirty laundry that they need to wash. That SMS also includes insights. The insights tell the mum what the weather is going to be tomorrow, the drying time required for the items that are in the washing basket. Okay. Based on that, hopefully the mum then goes home and does the washing. Afterwards,
I got bad news for you, kids.
The best part then is once the mum puts the clothes on the washing line, it interrupts a laser sensor that it goes across the washing line. That then tells the washing line that there are clothes on the line because the laser has been interrupted. The washing line has a rain sensor. So if it starts to rain, even though it wasn't forecasted, there is a motor that triggers the washing line to pull the clothes into an undercover area of the washing line.
I like that bit.
This also then fires off another SMS to the mum saying, it started raining, so the clothes are now undercover. If the rain sensor dries up because the sun has come back out, the washing is then pushed back out to the outside area.
These guys should get together with the guys doing the fire monitoring because weather's an important part of fire monitoring.
These are 11 and 12-year-old kids. I could not believe what they were talking about, and they demonstrated all of their working, and that was the best part, was when they started talking about design thinking and their actual process through it.
Right.
I'm like, how do you know these things? What are they teaching in schools now?
This is wonderful stuff, isn't it?
So if anyone is ever worried about where the future of technology is going, I don't think anyone needs to worry anymore.
I think, well, the only thing I'm worried about, of course, and this is the next segment that we're doing, is how our government takes modern technology and implements it.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
It is indeed. This is John English and Handbags and Glad Rags.
Ever seen a young girl growing old? make herself a bride.
Back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Indeed we are. Now, I have a bone to pick with you and Jason.
We have bones to be picking.
We have bones to be picking because last week...
What happened last week?
Last Sunday, while I was having dinner with Jason, I tried to get onto the census website on my phone.
This was Sunday?
Sunday, a week ago.
Yep.
And I could not, and it gave me error messages.
Oh, yeah. And we said, don't worry.
Yeah.
This won't happen
on
Tuesday.
And I wanted to talk about that on air, but we just spoke about the privacy implications of the of the census.
Yep.
Lo and behold, on Tuesday night at 7:30, the department, the Australian Bureau of Statistics website, they pulled it down between 7:30 and 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, because they said of a denial of service attack.
Yes. Well, now, they said that the next morning. Anyway.
They said that the next morning.
The best part actually was during the outage. They said it'll be back very soon,
and you know, please try again in 15 minutes. And they kept encouraging people to try.
That didn't happen.
Well. There's been absolutely no evidence that there was, in fact, any denial of service attack.
Nope.
None whatsoever.
Nope.
And, in fact, there is a little bit, there's been just a little bit of discussion amongst people who know a little bit about this sort of stuff as to what actually happened. Census fail, of course, was one of the biggest trend. It was the top world trending topic on Twitter by late Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
Curiously, earlier in the evening, even though I was seeing hundreds of census fail tweets in my timeline, it was not trending at all.
Interesting.
But let's just go over a few of what appear to be facts. And we've got to thank Patrick Gray for giving us this list.
So much.
Patrick is one of the top people when it comes to this sort of thing. And Patrick says that IBM and the ABS were offered denial of service, prevention of services from their upstream provider. They said they didn't need it. Their plan was just to have traffic outside of Australia blocked in case of any sort of attack.
Yep.
Now, they counted on 1 million people an hour submitting forms there, without sort of thinking that between 7:30 and 9:30...
That was their time.
There were going to be probably 10 million people trying to access the site, 10 million people. When you do the math, that's probably 4 million an hour, something like 4 million an hour.
And it's actually quite... A lot of it comes down to the communication too. They were telling everybody that Tuesday is census night.
Yes.
So that insinuates that that's the time to do it.
Yeah.
So by doing that, you're encouraging everyone to hit this website after dinner, probably around 7:30.
Exactly.
Guess what? That's what they did.
Yeah. And so you got 4 million people basically creating a distributed denial of service attack on census because that's what the department told them to do.
Yeah. So in very basic terms, imagine a doorway to your house and trying to stuff 1,000 people through that doorway very, very quickly.
Exactly.
Eventually, they'll either knock down the wall or the door will shut.
Yeah. You've got a pipe that allows so much water to go through.
Yep.
And it can't. It's blocked.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. And
they
were panicking, thinking that it was an attack. But guess what? It was actually just people.
That's really what it boils down to. Now, one of the other things about it is that somebody has said that there was cheap equipment used in the setup. It was, you know, this is basically trying to find the cheapest hardware that you can get to run this sort of thing rather than using the best devices.
And also, apparently, the configuration of these devices was not very good either.
No.
So in terms of redundancy, that if something was to fail, something else jumps in to back it up,
yeah.
That was not set up correctly.
Well, when we talk about configuration, on Tuesday, early in the day on Tuesday, people were posting error messages that they were seeing, which were the default Apache web server error messages, which say, please send your name at your domain.com to the server or something like that.
That's so bad.
They hadn't even properly configured the servers.
I'm sorry.
So it was poorly done. It was to put too fine a point on it, an absolute mess.
Yeah,
a disaster looking for somewhere to happen. Mm. Now, on Fairfax.com's website, Fairfax website, they've got a story there about how David Kasich, the head statistician he apparently went to the government and told them that everything was fine months ago, when in fact it seems as though he knew that that was not the case.
He's too well paid to be making comments, I guess.
Yeah.
Or intelligent comments.
Yeah. This was not...
Bit of a mess.
This was not an accident. This was not an unexpected outcome.
No, this is bad. A bad project.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Head should roll. I think I know whose head should be the first one, and it's not yours, and it's not mine.
Oh, thank God.
This is the Four Tops. A bit of Motown. Reach out. I'll be there. I hope you had the volume turned up for that one. We certainly did.
Crack a song.
In the studios. Jeff's been dancing on the stage here. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. Useless gadget time. I've actually got two.
Two of them?
Two of them.
All right.
Peanut butter.
You love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Have you heard of Aerolite?
No.
Obviously not. It's a distilled peanut extract, which comes in individual 4 milliliter capsules designed for regular dosing. And it's the purpose of it is to help people prevent getting a peanut butter allergy.
So they don't want to get the allergic reaction, but they can still eat peanut butter then?
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, great idea.
Hang on, this isn't useless.
It is when you consider that it's basically just peanut butter.
Yeah.
That's $180 for a 3-month supply. US.
3-month supply?
Yeah, in capsules. Or you could just take a little bit of peanut butter.
This is so strange.
Yeah. As I said.
Okay, now I'm out. I'm confused.
Okay. Okay. Yesterday, Saturday, was the 90th birthday of none other than Fidel Castro.
Yes, you mentioned.
Ex-president or former president of Cuba.
Cuba. What's famous in Cuba?
Well, what is famous in Cuba? One of the things that's famous in Cuba is music. We're listening to Chucho Valdez behind us right now.
Isn't it?
Yes, okay. Cuban, one of the Cuban masters.
And what do you do while you're listening to this sort of music?
Well, what I generally do while I'm listening to this sort of music, I have got some nice Cuban cigars at home.
That's what I was thinking.
And while we're down, after we finished our fish and chips this afternoon,
yep.
I had a nice cigar. Cuban nice. Leaf. This one was from Key West.
How big was it?
It was a Robusto. Oh, so decent. It was about 6 inches long.
Yeah.
But a Cuban tobacconist is attempting to break his own world record after rolling a 90-meter cigar in order to help celebrate yesterday's 90th birthday of Fidel Castro.
It's staggering.
A 90-meter cigar. Took him 10 days to roll it.
Yep.
This is hand-rolled, obviously. You're not going to get a machine that's going to do a 90-meter. I'm wondering how they compress it, because they have these little presses, and they put them in and compress them. I'm not quite sure how they do that for a 90-meter-long cigar.
I have no idea.
As much as I would love to have a 90-meter cigar. My cigars normally.
Yep.
The Robusto is, I don't know, it's about an hour to an hour and a quarter to smoke, typically.
Yeah.
And cigars that I have, they range, you know, from having a cigarillo from 10 minutes to a Churchill, which might be an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And a Churchill is about 8 inches long.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how long it would take to smoke a 90-meter cigar.
I don't think anyone should.
How the hell would you carry it anywhere?
I'd love to. So, do you mind if I smoke a cigar? Yeah, that's fine. Let me just get the truck.
Yeah, we're calling last drinks at the pub now. You're sitting out in the garden. And yeah, this will only be another 2 weeks.
I'm just going to go light it. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Hang on, I'll get you to light it.
Can you hold this end for me?
Because it's at the other end of the footy field. As I said, we're listening to a little bit of Cuban music. This is Chucho Valdez, son of Bebo Valdez. They happen to share the same birthday, but not the same birth date. Both absolutely superb musicians. Chucho Valdez, Calzada del Cerro. I've got no idea how to pronounce that. I don't care. It is wonderful music. Enjoy. You've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. I am not
Jeff Quattromani.
And you are not
Gary Stark.
Correct.
That was too much pressure.
I know. We'll be back next week. Take care. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.